Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
First, we say hello to Dr. Kevin Most, the Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Doctor, welcome back.
Steve, how are you doing?
Good. You know, I love talking to you because I can count on you for always giving me the straight answer, never sugarcoating it. Did you know that there were different sexes of trees?
I did not know that.
Well, that makes me feel good.
Okay, good.
we're going to talk to someone, an arborist, a little bit later in the show. I had no idea. It's kind of fascinating because what they did was when they did urban planning after the Dutch elm crisis, they planted all these new trees. Well, male trees are less messy than female trees. They don't drop seeds and things like that.
Oh.
So all these towns filled up with male trees. What the male trees do produce is pollen. And so we've actually made ourselves more susceptible to allergy situations because of the trees we planted, the male trees instead of female. How about that?
Wow. I like how you tied the medicine side into the trees. That was really good.
Anything for you, Doc. Hey, we got to start something serious here, though.
Yes, absolutely.
More than 93,000 people died from drug overdoses in 2020. That's nearly 30% more than the year before. And we, you know, all year, you and the other experts have been saying this was happening. But still, that number, 93,000, is just jaw-dropping.
Yeah, I hope people hear that, and it is. It's extremely sobering when we think about that. All of our focus in the media and the public and really even day-to-day patients was certainly on COVID over this past year, but we had to realize that addictions did not stop. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we probably lost some of our ability and our forcefulness to work on that because we were working on something else, which is so unfortunate because you could have predicted that this was going to happen. I did not think it was going to be as large of an increase, but certainly we knew that there was going to be an increase.
Did the pandemic lead to addiction?
Absolutely. So not only did the pandemic lead to it, it allowed it to keep on occurring. So we had individuals that got addicted because why? They were at home, they weren't doing anything, they were hanging with friends, they had more opportunities. So we certainly know that it wasn't that they got hurt more and that's how they got it.
Mm-hmm.
It was more the availability and the congregation with many friends.
What's the situation there when it comes to prescriptions? I mean, has that problem pretty much been alleviated or does it remain?
No, it's. I shouldn't say it's been alleviated, but it certainly has been corrected to some place. You know, if you look at it, if you go back, you know, 5-10 years ago, even the Joint Commission said that pain is a vital sign and that we should be doing everything we can to eliminate pain. Well, we as physicians all jumped on this, and at the same time, we were given these great medications that we're told they're not addictive. And boy, talk about a perfect storm. Someone, upper authority telling you should do it, and then having a medication that absolutely did it. But certainly, I can tell you, I can't tell you the last narcotic I wrote for in, you know, doing urgent, you know, emergent care.
Sure.
I used to write him probably 2-3 times a day.
You know, and I've got family members, and this is kind of the other side of it, who are in pain right now. And because of the bad rap of the narcotics that of the past, they're kind of afraid to take pain medication, so they're enduring pain that they probably don't have to.
Absolutely. You know, you do have those individuals that are in pain and either are trying to not take it because of the addiction, when those are the people we're trying to sort out to say, no, you have real pain,
yeah,
and let's make sure we keep you under a pain program, we monitor how much we use, and we look at other alternatives in addition to narcotics, so that we minimize the use of the narcotics. So the study of pain medicine is really fascinating.
We're talking to Dr. Kevin Most from Central DuPage Hospital, Northwestern Medicine. If you've got a question about this or anything really, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We will resume our conversation both via text and telephone, but you know how I feel. Nicer to talk to you. Give us a call. First, to look at the traffic and weather from Mary. We're back on Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. We're talking to Dr. Kevin Most. He is the Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And we'll move to COVID questions here in a second, Doc. I just want to ask you one more about the opioid epidemic and these 93,000 people. Can you put a face on them? What do they what do they look like? I hope you understand my question.
I do. I totally understand your question. And I wish it were as simple as saying, here's the demographic that we're looking at. What we have seen over this time is this demographic has changed dramatically, all the way from adolescents to people age 60. So it's not this typical, here it is, it's a 45-year-old male who is a drug-seeking individual. No, we're seeing the full spectrum of this. And one of the other things about COVID is we saw a lot of the substance abuse treatment centers cutting back or not being able to take the volume that they could in the past. So we saw treatment go down and cases go up, which is a terrible, you know, combo.
David is called with a related question. David, welcome to WGN.
Hi, doctor. I've been waiting for a phone call like this, for a radio interview like this for a while. I was on hydrocodone for 25 years, and it just the stuff the doctors go through now to try to cut us off, it's unbelievable. I went to like 6 or 7 doctors before someone finally came out and says, "Well, we really can't be giving it out anymore." And it's just I go through hell every day. You know, my quality of life has gone down the tubes because no one can look beyond that you're a drug addict or something. But I kicked it within about 3 months, but after being on it for 25 years. And I still go to the doctor, and it's the same old stuff. They give me that Butrys patch. I think it's called Butran. It doesn't help me whatsoever. But I've given up now after this week. I just went to the doctor again. And it's the same old stuff. They want to put an implant in my spine. And, you know, I've had like 15 surgeries. I don't need any more surgeries. Does that work, that implant?
Well, some of the times they do. You know, some of the spinal stimulators that we put in, sometimes with people, especially with low back pain, which was where we see a lot of discomfort start, you know, it's that nerve that keeps triggering, even though it doesn't need to. So sometimes they can override that with a spinal stimulator that overrides that impulse and kind of takes the pain away. It's not a big major surgery. So I would say for someone like you that has been on hydrocodone for as long as you have, please take the opportunity to talk to some of the spinal surgeons that do this, because it is life-changing in many individuals where the pain is, I don't want to say it's gone completely, but it is certainly dulled to a point where it's tolerable. So we've had great success with many people who had been on narcotics for a long period of time and now are looking at these new technologies that are not looking at, I want to numb the pain, I want to slow the pain down. No, we're trying to eliminate the focus of the pain. Mm. We're trying to eliminate the pathology that's causing the pain versus masking the pain in your brain.
We're talking to Dr. Kevin Most. David, thank you for the call. I'm sorry you're going through that. Some questions now about COVID. A text, I should say. Fully vaccinated, but I was planning on traveling to the suburbs of St. Louis. Is there anything to worry about? I have a weakened immune system. Do I still need to wear a mask? Thanks. I value your opinion. Seems like Missouri's a mess.
Missouri is a mess. You know, someone that has a decreased immune system, even fully vaccinated, we have to realize that the numbers that we talk about for protection for fully vaccinated, 94, 95%, those who are that are immunocompromised are not at that level. So they may be down in the 60, 70%. But when you're surrounded by others who are protected by 90, you're fine. Would I go to Missouri right now? I would not. I mean, I hate to say that, but Southern Illinois and Missouri right now, the rates are unbelievable. The Delta rate is very high. Their hospitals in Springfield, Missouri are full. They're running out of ventilators. They have a low vaccinated population. If I was immunocompromised, I'm hope you're not going for a family reunion or something, but if I was immunocompromised, I would stay away from Southern Illinois and Missouri, at least for the time being.
How about if you are not immunocompromised and are fully vaccinated? Will you still stay away from the area?
You know, I'd be really careful. You know, the rates that they have, you've got to remember that when we talk about vaccine, the sensitivity of it, and we're saying, oh, it's 95% effective. It's 95% effective of you ending up in the hospital or dying. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get a case of COVID and could still end up with some long hauler symptoms. So, I mean, I would still be very careful. Missouri scares me right now. Missouri and Mississippi are the ones that really scare me.
Hey, have you ever refused to treat someone? And I ask because I think it was an essay in the New York Times this week about, maybe it was for their etiquette editor, but the question was, is it ethical for a doctor to refuse to treat someone who refuses to get this vaccine? Have you ever run into anything like that?
No, I mean, I certainly wouldn't. I mean, I think it's a duty of us as physicians to educate patients as much as we possibly can and share the science with them. But at the end of the game, you know, it's their decision as to what risk they want to take and what benefit they think they're going to get. I get to a point where I'm a little bit frustrated when, you know, take Missouri. I mean, the show me state, right?
Right.
You know, what more can we show you that this vaccine works? And I'm telling you, you look at people right now, 99% of those in the hospital right now and 99% of those dying right now are unvaccinated people. Not vaccinated breakthroughs, unvaccinated people. If that doesn't get your attention, I'm not sure what's going
That's
to.
That's Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Okay, back to the phones, and we'll start with Joe. Joe, welcome to WGN.
Yeah, hi. Hi, guys. Hi, doctor.
What can we do for you, Joe?
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, I have a quick question. I'm a cancer survivor. I was on chemo meds for 6 years, Revlimid. One of the side effects is heart damage. I had a heart attack as a result of it, and I had a couple of stents put in. And I have not had the vaccine because I have heard some things about it can possibly cause heart inflammation or clotting. Is there any truth to that?
So, Joe, there's a little bit of truth to that, and when I say a little bit, it's all about math, and it's about science and math. So certainly there have been some cases of myositis, in other words, an inflammation of the heart, mainly in younger people, and there have been a couple incidents of blood clots. Someone like you, though, who has been on chemotherapy and has had a heart condition, I would be one of the first ones in line to get vaccinated. You certainly do not want to get this illness. And the vaccine, the chance of it causing a blood clot or causing myositis in you, if that's like winning the lottery 3 times in a row. So I would not be overly concerned about that, but I would be concerned about making sure you're protected.
Thank you.
Surround yourself with vaccinated people, too, if you decide not to get vaccinated.
Joe, I'm glad you called. That's good advice. Thank you very much. We're going to move right on to Mindy now. Mindy, you're on with Dr. Kevin Most from Central DuPage Hospital.
Hi, doctor. I have a question. We have plans to go to Branson, Missouri in October for anniversary. My husband has COPD. He only breathes like 40% oxygen and all. And, like, is it something that, you know, because we already paid for the trip, the hotel, like, you don't think that we should go? And then I do have another kind of question for you after that.
Oh, if you want the answer to the first one, yeah, Branson, Missouri, COPD, those are two words I would not put together right now. I certainly would be extremely hesitant. You know, you're talking about someone who is already at higher risk for any chance of COVID and COVID bad outcomes, and I certainly would not. You know, I mean, the Missouri Chamber of Commerce is certainly not going to call me and talk to me, but all I'm doing is looking at the science, and when I see Springfield, Missouri having hundreds and hundreds of patients in hospitals, when we're down to single digits here, and then I see the vaccine rates, I would feel terrible if I told you to go to Branson and found out later that something happened.
Mindy, we got time for just about 15 seconds here for your second question.
Well, I just want to get back real quick. We'll just do that. So you don't think by October it would get better? Do you think it would be worse there?
I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could see that vaccination rates in Missouri are going up. They're not. They have plenty of vaccine there, and you have individuals who are not lining up to get vaccinated, and that's what's going to be the tipping point.
And, you know, they know that in Branson, Mindy, so it may well be if you contact your hotel and elsewhere and explain the situation, you can get a credit or you can get an extension or things like that, okay?
All right, thanks, guys.
Best of luck. Dr. Most, we're out of time. Thank you so much. You know how much I value your time you spend with us on the show. It's always great. So I can't wait for the next time.
Always enjoy talking with you, Steve. Take care.
You bet. Dr. Kevin Most from Central DuPage Hospital. All right, we're going to take a break for a couple of minutes, 2 minutes, and then head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.